Hallelujah. Father, we love you in this place, and we thank you for your presence that's here today to meet with us. Jesus, I thank you that eyes are open. Father, ears are ready to listen. Hearts are ready to receive. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will speak a word today that will cause transformation. Transformation change in the lives of those that are here today. We thank you that your word, it does not return void, but it accomplishes what it was sent to do. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody said, hey, stay right here really quick. I want us to lean in this morning. Because how many of you know that transformation doesn't just lie within the quality of the seed that is preached? The transformation is also in the quality of the soil that receives the seed. So listen, I come to bring a word, but whether or not it causes transformation in your life is whether or not you're ready to receive it. So who's ready to receive the word this morning? Come on, let's just practice. Let's just do this physically. Just lean. Leaning in. All right, now I want you to do that with your spirit today. Can we do that? Awesome. Come on, guys. Greet someone around you. Let them know you're glad that they're here, and you guys can be seated. Well, hallelujah. Who's excited to be in church this morning? There is no place I would rather be than in the presence of God and with like-minded believers. Amen? Man, I'm super excited. Really quick, I just want to take a moment. I know that she's probably hidden somewhere in here, but I'm going to have Caleb, Sydney, Teresa Goon, and Moises. Can you guys stand up? Yeah, stand up. Come on, this is our Rhema Youth staff, y'all. Teresa, I'm trying to find her. Where is she at? There she is. Come on, I'm telling you what, this team is amazing, and I could not do what I do without them. And also, could I have every single one of the youth volunteers and leaders stand up where you're at? Come on, stand up. Stand up tall. Come on, give it up for our leaders and our volunteers. And one more group, just specifically, can we just give it up for our worship team? Man, I'm telling you what, they just usher in the presence of God, and it makes it so easy to preach. When you stir that environment and that atmosphere where the presence of God comes in and those kids begin to take their eyes off of their friends and onto Jesus, man, it begins to shift the room. And what's amazing as a minister is when you get up behind that, man, it's easy to preach because they just pull it right out of you. And so I'm telling you what, I just want some hungry, desperate listeners this morning. And I promise you, if you are that, it's going to be a good service. Do you believe that? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be a good service. If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39. And we're going to start here. You can look up at the screen if you don't have it. It says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. When you endured, everybody say endured, in great conflict, full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. How many know that you have better and lasting possessions? Come on, somebody. All this thing that the world can offer cannot compare to what our Heavenly Father has prepared for you this morning. The Bible says that good and perfect gifts come from where? Above. So we can't look down here on earth. We can't look below. We got to look above. Now, it's no wonder why Colossians says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on things above, because that is what we receive from, I love this, better lasting possessions. It's therefore, it says, they joyfully accepted the confiscation of their property because they knew. Do you know this morning? I said, do you know this morning? Verse 35, this is the main scripture. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39. But we do not belong. Come on, somebody. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith. Does anybody have faith this morning? Am I in the right house? Do I have a house of believers that have some undeniable, unmoving faith? Because I'm telling you what, I don't want to speak to anybody else. I want to speak to the people who know that God's going to show up. I want to speak to the people who know that God still heals. I want to speak to the people who knows that God still performs signs, wonders, and miracles in our generation. That's who I want to preach to this morning. Am I in the right house? Listen, I ain't about consuming. I'm about contributing, which means I need some contributors in service today. I need some participation. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to participate. You got to participate. It's in this context of scripture in Hebrews that he's writing to the Jewish members of the church because they are being tempted or pressured to go back to their old ways. Let me say it like this. There is pressure to leave the faith. There's pressure in the church to leave the faith. And I would venture to say that we're dealing with the very same thing today. That there is pressure to leave the faith. 2 Thessalonians tells us that there's coming a great falling away for those that just quit believing in God. And how sad is that? And I'm telling you that the devil and the enemy is at work in this generation to try to strip them from their faith. And that's one thing that we focus on in Rhema Youth is them developing their own faith. Because how many know it's not their pastor's faith, nor is it their parents' faith that is going to save them, but rather it is their own authentic faith. But that faith is being challenged. There's a pressure. Everybody say pressure. And so I want to talk this morning for about 3.5 hours. Is that okay? No, I'm just messing. Brace yourself. You never know. No. I want to talk to you for a few short moments on the title of my message, Confident Under Pressure. Confident Under Pressure. Let me pray. Father, I just pray that you would anoint this word. Help us to receive it by faith. Thank you for the transformation it's going to cause, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody says, amen. How many of you would say that you do well under pressure? Come on, raise it high. Come on, confident, right? You do well under pressure. Now, how many of you would say, I do not do very well under pressure? I need like a spa treatment and a nap. I need 3 to 6 weeks notice before I handle too much pressure, right? There are many people, they need that 3 to 6 week notice. I would venture to say I am one that likes pressure. I like it when things get a little crazy because there's things that just come up out of me that I didn't know was in there. And so, yeah, come on, somebody. Way to holler back. I like pressure because things come out of me that I didn't know was there. And we all handle pressure differently. We all have pressure. And so I have a couple parts here. There's 3 parts to this about what pressure does. But my first one is pressure points. You can write that down, pressure points. You know, we all have pressure points, right? Come on, if you have a brother or a sister or a best friend, you know pressure points. Pressure points are those areas that if someone pokes long enough and they start to irritate you in that area, it's going to cause a reaction. And most of the time, it's a reaction that we don't want to see in ourselves. And sometimes, though, it's a reaction that we do want to see. So that's why we poke. We want to cause a reaction in them. But what else is interesting about pressure points is pressure also points. It points out the areas of your weakness. How many of you know that pressure points out your character? Pressure will point out your problems, and it can also expose your preparation. When you're put into pressure, you'll find out whether or not you were prepared for the purpose that that pressure had or the lack thereof. Pressure points, you can write that around. Pressure will point out problems, and it'll also expose your preparedness. And we got to learn today to be confident in a times like this of pressure that the church is facing today. Because let me say it like this. The question is not just the pressure, because pressure is inevitable. We all have pressure. Am I right? Raise your hand if you have pressure in your life. But the question is also not, am I confident? Because everybody can be confident behind closed doors. The question this morning is, can you be confident under the pressure? Because I know you can sing in the shower. But if I got you up here on this stage and gave you this mic, can you sing the same way? And I know that you can talk about that person behind their back, but can you say those same things to their face? Pressure changes the game. Pressure causes reactions. Pressure intimidates. Pressure. I love movies with pressure. Man, I love the 007 movies, man, or Mission Impossible, when they're defusing the bomb and it's getting down to like 15 seconds left and they're sweating and they don't know which one to cut, the blue or the red wire, and there's this pressure and I'm like, just cut the red wire, right? You know, just cut the right one, right? I'm freaking out because there's so much pressure in the situation, and then they come through and they snip the right one and everybody's saved. Or you ever been watching that football game? It's in the fourth quarter, man, and there's just a few seconds left and they're about to throw a Hail Mary and they drop back and they've got pressure from every side. The linebackers are coming around him, right? And he's just confident in pressure and he hucks it down and they catch it in the end zone and everybody goes crazy. I love movies and I love sports where someone overcomes pressure. It's exhilarating and exciting. I'll never forget, you know, the time I had pressure in my life. But before I tell that story, I want to share this, that I've seen so many talented, gifted, anointed people who have caved under pressure. They were so good. They were so talented. They were so anointed. But when pressure came, they could not remain confident. And they lost what God gave them because they could not stay under pressure. I'll never forget the first time I felt so much pressure. Now, there was many times in my life, but I'll never forget. My grandpa has been in ministry for 51 years, probably about at this time. And my grandpa was an old school Pentecostal preacher. And I know that this was a long time ago, but we still had this going when I was little. I grew up in tent meetings, like pretty much tent meetings where revival services. And I would watch my grandpa. He's this bigger dude and he preached with such a powerful voice and he would just scare you in your seat. I mean, he would just shout. And all of a sudden, it was just like you were a little kid and you jump in your seat because he had so much power in his voice. And then my dad, you know, my dad is so sophisticated and he was so compassionate. And he'd get up and preach this eloquent word. And I'll never forget, I was like, I never want to be in ministry. The pressure that came with ministering to so many people like they did. And I'll never forget the first time I was not at my parents' church. I was at another church I was interning at. I was 16 years old and I got asked to preach my first sermon. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it like them. I don't want to try to do it like them. I'm not going to do it. But they told me, you're going to do it. So I was like, yes, sir. I don't have a choice. So I'm going to do it. So I prepared this sermon and I was so nervous, y'all. I was shaking. My stomach was just turning. I'll never forget. My eyes were watering. I don't even know. Like, I wasn't crying. It was just water. You're like, sure you weren't. No. It was just water was coming out. And I got up there and my hand was shaking so bad. I remember I grabbed the mic with both hands and I stood behind like this. And I just started reading the scripture. Y'all, I made it 7 minutes. And I don't think there was anything that made sense in that 7 minutes. And I folded and I just said, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I prayed. I caved under the pressure. And I was like, I am never doing that again. And the person who was kind of helping me out in my life, he just said, no, you're going to do it again. And guys, I'd win another 7 minutes. And that 7 minutes turned into 10. And that 10 into 15. And I recognized like the scripture that I was thankful to have somebody that helped me persevere through the pressure. Because I wouldn't be standing here today before you guys doing what I'm doing if somebody didn't help me persevere through pressure. Because you can't let pressure make you cave. You got to let pressure develop you into the purpose that God has for your life. Pressure does some things, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But pressure is everywhere. Let's take it off me for a moment. Let's talk about you. Everybody smile. We're coming for you this morning because pressure is everywhere. Pressure we all face, the pressure to perform, the pressure to be someone that you're not, the pressure to act like you're okay in church and say I'm blessed and highly favored when you're really not, is pressure. The pressure to meet the deadline, the pressure to fulfill expectations. How about this one? The pressure to fill unrealistic expectations that are on your life. How about this one? The pressure to raise kids in the climate and atmosphere of our culture today. Come on, I know some of you parents out there, that one can apply. I hear parents talk about, oh, what's going on in this world right now? I don't know, man, if I should send my kids here or go there because of the pressure that schools are facing. How about the pressure to be liked in school? The pressure to fit in. The pressure to be befriended. To not be the person sitting alone at the lunch table. The pressure to be liked, so therefore you turn and you start to act like someone you're not to fit into a group you were never meant to fit into. There's pressure. How about this one? The pressure that many parents put on their kids to be perfect. Parents put pressure on their kids to be and to do something they were never meant to do or to be. And a lot of the times parents do it because they're living vicariously through their son or their daughter. And rather they think they're being loving and compassionate and helping, when rather they're poisoning the purpose in their kid. Because some people are telling their kids to do something that they can't do. Like, it's like asking a fish to climb a tree. Your kid was never meant to do what you did. And sometimes there's this pressure people put on their kids to do something that they did, but maybe what your kid's called to do isn't what you do. And maybe you got to shift your perspective to help take pressure off and put it on in a different area to develop the purpose that God placed on your child. There's pressure everywhere, and it comes to us all. Pressure comes to different ages and stages, from the CEO in the boardroom who's about to give the PowerPoint presentation to the middle school girl who has the pressure on Instagram by Instagram influencers to look a certain way. How about the things that people say to you? The pressure when you're single. Oh, you're not married yet? How about the pressure to get a divorce? Oh, you're still with him? This is real. Things that we face, the pressure that we feel from other people. How about this one? Financial pressure. Come on, we could talk about that one because I hear everybody, I mean everybody, talking about gas prices. I went to Casey's and QT the other day and my gas tank was $100 to fill up. I hear people talking about my grocery bill, my electric bill. Man, I'm not paying $100, I'm paying $300 for my electric bill. People are going crazy and they are caving under pressure. But I'm telling you what, that we are not ones to shrink back. We are not ones to cave. We are a church that has faith, that we are to rise up to say, I will be confident in the pressures that I face in my society. We all have pressure. What are you doing with the pressure you are under right now? But even deeper, can I ask you, how are you doing with the pressure that you're facing right now? Turn to your neighbor and just say, how you doing? See, the enemy wants you to buckle and to cave under pressure, to give in to the culture. He wants to get you to walk away from the call of God that is on your life. Because you do understand that he can't touch your calling, right? Matter of fact, he can't even touch your gifts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that gifts and callings are irrevocable, are without repentance. So let me just tell you this morning that the devil cannot touch your gift, nor can he touch your call. There's no mistakes that you can make that can separate you from what he's placed inside of you. Even though you're making mistakes and even though you're in sin right now, those gifts are still lying inside of you. They may be dormant, but they're still there. There's still a call of God. This is for somebody this morning. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's been done to you, but there is still a call of God on your life. Come on, I said there's still a call of God that is on your life. But the devil doesn't want you to step into it. Matter of fact, he wants to take it away, but he can't do it. So if he can't ungift you and he can't take away your calling, he can touch your confidence. Let me say it like this. He can't touch your competence, but he can touch your confidence. And this is what he wants to do in our generation. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to be loud. He wants to roar. But let me tell you something right now. He cannot touch you. He can only roar. He can only run his mouth. He has no power. The power has already been stripped from him. And I'm telling you what, all he wants to do is silence this generation, to make them feel like they can't be bold, to make them feel like they can't speak up for what they believe in, to make them feel like they can't be confident. But I'm telling you what, church, it's time for the church to stand up, to rise up with confidence, to say, I will not shrink back. I will not cave under the pressure of this culture, but I will walk by faith. I will not throw in the towel when the devil comes against me. I will not give in. I will walk by faith. Come on. We need some Davids in this generation. We need some people who look at the Goliaths and say, no, no, no. You will not have this generation, but you stand up before the Goliaths of this generation, you say, ha, today I will cut off your head. And all of Israel will know that there is a God in Israel. Come on, David was young. David was a teenager. Come on, do not let anyone despise you for your youth, because there is power, there is callings, there is gifts that God has put inside of you to affect this generation. Am I in the right house this morning? I'm passionate about this next generation. I want to see young people confident, bold when they come to college, bold when they go to the universities, bold when they go back to high school. People making fun of you. Oh, like, oh, you're going to talk like that? Or you're not going to date those people? Oh, man, you're not going to kiss? You're not going to have sex before marriage? No, I'm not. My values, I hold them. I will remain confident under pressure. Turn to someone and say, be confident. Because here's the thing. You're going to be hit with three things. Are you ready? Three things. The world, Satan, and your flesh. Three things. The world, Satan, and your flesh. These three things you will be hit with in your life. Number one, the world. The world and its systems. There is a current in this culture. The Bible says, wide is the gate. And wide is the road that leads to destruction. It's a current. It's easy. It's easy to jump into. It's just doing what everybody else is doing. Thinking the way everybody else is thinking. Everyone around you, gas prices. Oh, yeah, gas prices. You're just going the same way. But the Bible says, narrow is the gate. And narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. We are called to walk this road and to come against the world's systems. Because the world's systems, they oppose the kingdom of God. They're against God's agenda. They're against God's will. And so we have to come against the world's systems. But then also in the midst of coming against the world's systems, we have Satan. And what Satan does is he's a liar. The Bible says he's the father of many lies. Let me just tell you, he can't tell the truth. He cannot tell the truth. And so what he wants to do is he wants to get a lie lodged into your mind. Because if he can get a lie lodged in your mind, he can get you to walk in fear. And if you start walking in fear rather than in faith, you will cave rather than be confident. But then also he tempts. We see him do this with Jesus. Jesus is on the road of the will of God, and Satan comes to him and he tempts him. Three times, and the third time he says, if you just bow to me, I'll give you what you came for. You came for the kingdoms. If you just bow to me, I'll give them to you. It's a shortcut. Let me tell you right now, there is no shortcut to the promises of God. There is no shortcut to your purpose. You cannot bypass the plans that God has for you. There are things that you have to go through. There's things that you have to endure. There's things that you have to be in and under so God can develop things inside of you. You cannot have a shortcut. Jesus, aren't you glad he didn't take the shortcut? But then lastly, your flesh. A lot of people blame the devil for a lot of things when really it's just you. I love what Romans 8, verse 7 through 8 says. Your flesh is at enmity with God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. That's crazy to me. No wonder Paul said, I'm at war with something inside of me. I'm at war constantly. The thing you're at war at is your flesh. Because it says right here, it does not submit to God, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. The Bible says that only faith, without faith, it says it's impossible to please God. So therefore, if I walk by my flesh, I'll never please him. If I go in the current of this culture and talk the way everybody else is talking and there's no faith in my words or my actions, we have to walk like it, talk like it, believe like it. That we have faith, church. I said we have faith. Turn to someone next to you and say, I got faith. But I love this. What pressure does, part two. Pressure also purifies. I love the statement, now whether it's true or not, I just heard it my whole life, that a diamond is a chunk of coal that has done well under pressure. It purifies this carbon and it makes it into something better than what it was before. Pressure will make you better than who you were before. Pressure purifies. Matter of fact, if I had 24 karat gold, that's perfect gold, right? But let's say I had 20 karat. That means I am lacking 4 carats, which there's 4 impurities, okay, inside of this gold. So how do you get the impurities out? Matter of fact, you put the gold in a furnace under pressure. and the heat melts the gold down, and the impurities, the copper, zinc, metal, rises to the surface. And the job of the engineer is to scrape off the impurities. So that way, when it's taken out of the pressure, then it comes to 24 karat. But here's the problem. When you don't know how to handle pressure, when you don't know how to handle it, you'll be put in the pressure. The things you don't like about you are going to rise to the surface. You're going to get a little mad, short-tempered. I don't like this. It's out of my control. There's a reason. And those things that come to the surface, most people, they don't recognize it. So they don't scrape it off. They pray for the pressure to leave. And those things just sink right back down in. And you're the same person you were 5 years ago. And ain't no wonder why people ain't growing in the church. Because I'm telling you what, if you would learn that pressure purifies, that when I'm in a state of pressure, I'm looking for my impurities to rise. When they rise, I'm going to ask for supernatural assistance to scrape those things off, to put them down, so I come out of the fire, all right, better than I was before. Pressure purifies. Part three, pressure produces. Pressure produces. I love this. When you remain confident and you do not cave under pressure, it will produce. Say it will produce. See, if you never have pressure, you will never have power. Write this down. Pressure can create problems. It can point out problems, but it can also produce power. Everybody say produce power. It can produce power. The piezoelectric effect. We're going to go science this morning. Can we do that for a moment? Oh my goodness, science in church? No, listen, you'll like this. The piezoelectric effect. The term piezoelectricity means electricity generated by applying pressure. Power generated by applying pressure. This is where we get hydroelectric power. This is why we build dams in rivers. This is why we build these dams, and then we put inside these dams a turbine, because the pressure of the river or the pressure of these waterfalls actually generates power. The more pressure, the more power. The more pressure, the more power. This is where we also see those giant windmills. Where I'm from in Iowa, they're everywhere. They're in all the cornfields. And these windmills have these turbines. And when air pressure comes, it begins to spin these and it begins to generate power and electricity. The more pressure, the more power. Now let me apply this to you. When pressure comes to you in the natural and you learn to navigate it and you take that pressure to that flesh and you actually push it down, you press down your flesh, you press down these things that are coming and you submit and you crucify it, then guess what? When I press down my flesh, it produces spiritual power. Because every time I tell the devil no, I'm actually not feeding my flesh and I'm starving it. Therefore, it gets quiet. But then when I do that, my spirit man gets more bold and more confident, thus creating spiritual power, spiritual momentum. And so I'm telling you this morning that if you push down your flesh when you're in pressurized situations, it's going to produce power. So you know what? The devil doesn't even know what he's doing to the church. Come on, this excites me. He has no idea. Come on, devil, keep putting pressure on the church. Keep putting pressure on this generation, because when this generation learns how to handle it, it's about to produce some power. Come on, church, I'm telling you, the church is about to be producing some great supernatural power. Some of you have been wondering, why am I under so much pressure? Why do I keep going from pressure to pressure? Why is all these situations difficult? Why is this so hard? Let me just tell you, it just might be because God's producing something inside of you. The thing that you are under right now is actually forming you into who God needs you to be for the season he wants to take you into. Am I preaching a little bit too fast to you guys this morning? I'm here to tell you that when you handle pressure right and you don't cave and you remain confident, It produces power. Power is what the churches need. But rather than understanding pressure, we just don't like it. So we run from it. People are like, I'm following the will of God. I'm in this pressurized situation. This ain't peace. I cannot stand when people come to me and say, I just feel peace. What kind of peace? Worldly peace? Because some people, they only praising God when they get on that Carnival Cruise Line and they're sitting out there in the sun and they're like, this is the will of God for my life. This is peace. But some people, they start dealing with pressure and they're like, oh, God ain't in this. But what if I told you that some of the pressure that you're facing in your life is the will of God for you? I've recognized the only way I've grown in my life, the only way I've went from glory to glory to new levels, is because I had good parents, number one, but taught me how to work hard and told me it doesn't matter how hard it gets, how much pressure people put on you. My dad looked at me, it doesn't matter, son, how much pressure people put on you. You don't quit. You keep going. You keep saying no. You be confident. My dad used to tell me all the time, he said, son, we all put our pants on the same way. Don't let anybody make you feel insignificant. Don't let anybody make you feel like you're not valuable. Young people, let me tell you right now, don't let anybody make you feel like you're not valuable. Don't let anybody tell you that you're insignificant. There's a call and there are gifts on your life and there's a purpose that God has for you. Just remain confident. Just remain confident. I want to go to Matthew chapter 26. Are you guys doing okay? Because Jesus shows us how to handle pressure. What a perfect example, right? Jesus shows us how to handle pressure in the garden called Gethsemane. Everybody say Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. Oil press. The garden that Jesus goes into was a pressurized place to press down his flesh and to raise up his spirit to continue to do the will of God. How do you get oil? It's when you take an olive, you put it in a press, and the press crushes the olive and it gets rid of the skin and the rest of it, and out comes the oil. Oil is significant in the Bible. Oil is anointing. Let me tell you this morning, you want to know how to get anointing? Then withstand the press. Withstand the pressure. Because when you withstand it and you allow yourself, your flesh to be crucified, you allow your flesh to be crushed and you get rid of you. I always pray, Lord, less of me, more of you. None of me and all of you. Jesus didn't come to make you a better you. He came to actually replace you so he can finish his work. People think that Jesus came and he did all these things so that way we could live a good life. Yes, we can have blessings, but it doesn't exempt you from the purpose of finishing his work. Jesus said, even greater things you will do than I. So it means that if I wear my cross, you got to wear yours. He said that you must die to yourself, take up your cross and follow me. People are like, thank you for the cross so I don't have to carry it. No, 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 no. Thank you for the cross and showing us how to do it. Because we all have a cross to carry. And Jesus shows us how to do it. Jesus shows us right here, Matthew chapter 26. Can we read this? Really quick, 10 verses. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup, everybody say cup, be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and he prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup, everybody say cup, to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping. Man, bad days for the disciples because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. I love in this passage of scripture that the will of God is compared to a cup. What do you do when the will of God brings you a cup? Here's what's cool about the cup. In biblical antiquity, they would use the cup to put poison in to kill the king. This is why they had a cupbearer. The cupbearer's job was to drink it to make sure it had no poison before it went to the king. I know, bad day, right, to be a cupbearer. But what's amazing is our king knew there was poison in the cup. The poison was death itself. And yet he didn't hand it to anybody else to drink. He drank it. That's the king. That's the Jesus that you and I serve. But I like that it's the will of God's compared to a cup because we all know how to spell cup. C-U-P. Confident under pressure. And let me tell you something. In order for you to fulfill the will of God in your life, you must be confident under pressure. I'm going to get in a little bit, okay? So, with the whole peace of God thing, people would think that if I'm blameless and upright, that means I shouldn't have pressure in my life. I should just have constant peace and blessings. But Jesus was blameless and upright. We would think that should mean he should not be recommended for pressure. But the fact he was blameless and upright was the reason God recommended him for pressure. Because it's one thing for God to trust you with blessings, but it is a whole nother level when God can trust you with pressure. I want to know, can God trust you with pressure? Because in pressure, there lies the will of God. Someone who can withstand against the enemy's schemes and the pressures of the current of this culture, to withstand it, come against it, and remain in faith, those are the people who will complete and finish the will of God in their life. So let me just tell you right now, when pressure comes, be aware, maybe God trusts me with something, so I'm not going to let it beat me. I'm going to be confident in this time. Four things, and then we're going to go. I'm a long-winded speaker. I apologize. Four things that is going to help you, because I believe in application. How do I do this? Number one, four things we need to be confident under pressure. Number one is you have to have a preview. How many of you like to go to the movies? Like, if I could have both. I love movies. How many of you are the people that love to show up for the previews? Oh my goodness, I'm so alone. How many of you show up right when the movie starts. Okay, there's just a lack of participation going on in here. How many? Come on, full participation. I'm on the final stretch. Don't fall asleep. How many of you love to go early for the previews? Thank you. You are my people. How many of you just like to show up right on time? You just want to see the movie. Okay, good. There's more that like the previews. I love the previews because when I get there, there's just a bunch of mini movies. And it's all the best scenes of what's coming, right? It's a preview of all the things to come. But the worst part is when you see a movie and it's just like all these scenes and you're just like, this is amazing, right? I can't wait for it. And all of a sudden they go, coming in 2030. You're like, I got to wait that long to see it. It drives me nuts. And then what's crazy is I'm at the preview and I know I got to wait till here till it premieres. But let me tell you right now, the gap between the preview of God's promises and the premiere of his promises in your life is pressure. The pressure of waiting, the pressure of wondering, the pressure. Everybody say the pressure. Pressure also prepares you. Remember what I said, pressure. I'm not supposed to stand on that. Pressure. I don't want to break it. Pressure can reveal your lack of preparedness. You want to know why God hasn't given you the full glimpse of your purpose? And he only gave you a preview. First of all, he says that we only see in part and we know in part, right? 1 Corinthians 13. But there's a reason, because if you saw the whole thing, you would try to bypass the preparation that is required for the promise when it comes. But let me tell you right now, every single person I've watched take shortcuts and bypass the preparation process did not have the character to withstand the blessings that God had to give. Am I talking to someone? You've been wondering why you're in this pressure. Let me just tell you, God is preparing you to handle something greater than yourself. I've learned to accept it. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They had a preview. The stars, the sand, you'll be a father of many nations. All of a sudden, they step into pressure. When is he coming? When's that going to happen? I don't know how we're going to do this. Sarah, you're old. What's going on? So in the pressure, they cave. Listen to me. Rather than trusting God in the pressure, they took matters into their own hands, ejected from the pressure, and said, hey, sleep with my servant. And guess what? They birthed a Ishmael. You don't want to birth an Ishmael in your life because you eject yourself from the pressure. The pressure serves a purpose. There's so many stories in the Bible. I could go on and on and on about Joseph having a dream, a preview. And how many of you know he went through some pressure in a pit, in Potiphar's house, and in prison. But he ended up getting his premiere because he withstood the pressure. So we have to have a preview. Number two, we have to have a place of prayer. I love Luke's account. Luke's a doctor, so he's very close, pays attention to detail. And it says that we went to the garden as usual. As usual. He didn't just go one time. He's been here before. Matter of fact, the Bible says he would wake up a while before daylight to go and pray to his Father. He had a place of prayer. And if you're going to get through the will of God and the pressure of your seasons, if you want to be confident, you have to have a place to pray. Because when you pray, you're actually spiritually preparing yourself for the pressure. Because if you don't have a place of prayer and you're not praying at all, let me speak to you right now. Let me prophesy in your future. You are going to cave under pressure. Because when I pray and I feed my spirit man When I get into the world and temptation comes my way, my flesh will speak louder and I'll give in if I don't pray. But if I have a continuous place of prayer, my spirit man is awake and alert. And so when I get out in tempting situations, I will be just like Joseph. I have a place of prayer, and when that temptation comes, I'm going to run. Or I'm going to stand up against it. Why? Because my spirit man was ready. Some of you are falling into temptation because you lack a prayer life, because you're spiritually not ready for the temptation. You got to have a preview that carries you through, but you also have a place of prayer. Say, I got to pray. I'd like to invite the band up. I got two more points. I want to invite the band up at this time. Young people, even adults, number three, you got to have the right people. You got to have a preview. You have to have a place of prayer, and you also have to have the right people. Notice what Jesus did. Notice. There's supposed to be 12. There's actually 11 disciples in this moment, because Judas is already gone to go get some people to betray Jesus. So he has 11 disciples, and he looks at the 11 and he says, "You stay here." Could you imagine being that group? And Jesus looks at the group and he goes, Peter, James, and John, you come with me. If I was any of the others, I would feel, it's like being left last picked on the football team. You know what I'm saying? This is how they felt. And he says, Peter, James, and John, you come with me. You eight stay here. And he took with them Peter, James, and John. Let me tell you two things out of this, young people. There's going to be some people you got to say goodbye to. There's some people who are helping you give in to the pressure. Oh, just date him, girl. That's okay. I just want you to be happy, but that guy ain't good for you. You don't need friends like that. Oh, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like going to church tonight. Oh, that's okay. Let's just stay home and play video games. You don't need friends like that. You need the friends that are going to remind you of your purpose when you're in the pressuring situations of your life. The kind of people that took the lame man and ripped a hole in the ceiling of the house to get him into the presence and at the feet of Jesus. You need those kind of friends. But what I love is he specifically selects multiple times in the scriptures, Peter, James, and John in that order. Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. Peter is Petros, means rock, also translated law. James means supplanter or replacement. John means grace. And you got to take people that will remind you of your purpose. And Jesus's purpose in the midst of pressure was that the law was going to be replaced by grace. You got to have the right people that will carry you through in those pressuring situations. And lastly, my last point is you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to have a preview. You have to have a place of prayer, and you got to have the right people. But lastly, you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, in Luke's account in the garden in 22 verse 43, it says an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him after Jesus was praying. The other accounts don't tell this, but Luke says that after he was praying, an angel of the Lord came down and strengthened him. This is an amazing depiction of what we have today, of the power of the Holy Spirit that is with us wherever we go. That even when I'm sweating drops of blood, even when the pressure is hard, even when the pressure is difficult, and everybody around me is tempting me, I will remain confident because I have a strengthener. I have a comforter. I got the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is there to walk with me. And so let me just preach for a moment. That day, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for his rod and his staff, they comfort me. For his goodness and his mercies follow me all the days of my life. Matter of fact, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my pressure. And so keep bringing me pressure. Keep putting pressure on me. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat from the table of the blessings of God. So come on, world, keep giving me pressure because it's just producing power in my life. I'm ready to come out stronger than I've ever been before. I'm ready to come out louder than I've ever been before. I want to know, come on, can you give God 5 seconds of a praise break in this place today? Hallelujah. 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 You can stay standing. You got to have the Holy Spirit. It's that supernatural assistance that you have when you're under pressure. But I like to remind the devil too that I have a preview. The suffering of this present time, Paul said, is not worthy. It's not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to me in Christ Jesus. My God is faithful to complete the work he began in me until the day Jesus returns. I will not cave. I will be confident because there's a glory coming on this generation for revival. And he needs young people that have gone through the pressure of preparation that their character can withstand such a power. And it's the purified bride of Christ, the church without spot or without wrinkle. That is the church that God is going to use to usher in the second coming of Christ Jesus. That is what we got to do. We have to withstand the pressure. We got to get through the suffering and turn our eyes on Jesus because he's doing something, church. He's doing something. He's preparing a generation with power. That's what I love. If the princes of this age would have known, they never would have crucified the Lord. You can press him down, but he was rising with power. You can press me down, but I'm just going to come out with power. And so I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes in this place. Nobody looking around. If you're in this place and you say, Zach, I've never asked Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm saved. But I want to know today with assurance, with confidence, that Jesus lives in me. I want you to raise your hand in this place right now. Come on, we got one back there. Hallelujah. A second one, if you are in this place and you feel like you've walked away from God, you feel like you've been making mistake after mistake and you've walked away, just like the prodigal son, it's time to come home. And so if you're ready to rededicate your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand in this place today. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, come on, just raise your hand high. Raise it with confidence. Hallelujah. And thirdly, if you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit for that supernatural assistance and guidance as you walk through this life, let me tell you right now, you need the Holy Spirit. So if you're in this place and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if you raised your hand, church, you can look up. If you raised your hand in this place, I want you to confidently, I want you to walk down here to the front. Come on, if you raised your hand, come on, can we give it up for these individuals? Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, give it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hey, what's your name, buddy? Connor. Come on, Connor. What's up, man? Can you stand right here? Like I said, I'm proud of you guys. You were confident and you came down here, and like that scripture says, you will be richly rewarded for your confidence. All right? And so we're going to pray for you. You're going to get exactly what you came for. All right? And you're going to go with a couple, and they're going to take you in that back room, and they're going to pray for you. All right? And they're going to make sure you get what you came down for. okay? Can you just hold out your hands like this? Come on, church, can we stretch out our hands toward these young people? Heavenly Father, I pray for these young people in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you that they're going to get exactly what they came for. Father, I thank you that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, what they've hoped for, I think is going to come to pass in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that you fill them with the fullness, Father, that their cup runs over in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, guys. Give me a high five. Come on. Come on. All right. You can go with these guys right here. All right. Come on. Give it up for them one more time. All right. Now, we have an amazing and incredible group in this place. And it is, if you're going into kindergarten or going into 12th grade, I want you to come down front. Come on, going into kindergarten through 12th grade, I want you to come down front. Come on, give it up for this group, y'all. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Look at this. The next generation of Rhema Bible Church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, 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 man. While you guys are making your way down here, I just have one thing I want to say. One thing I want to say to you. So y'all look at me right here with my eyes. I mean business. It's not a matter of if you're going to face pressure. Just a matter of when you're going to face it. But I want to let you know, young people, that you have every tool and you have everything you need to be confident in the pressures of this culture. You don't got to cave. You don't got to give in to temptation. You be bold. You don't let culture or people change you. You change people. Amen? I love you guys. I'm proud of you guys. Can I right now, can we just give it up for Pastor Hagen? Come on, our pastor, as he comes up to the stage.
They're still coming from upstairs. Praise the Lord. As pastor, I stand here with emotion. When I started this church in 1985, I said, we're going to have a great children's program and a great youth program. Because as long as Jesus tarries, if there's going to be witnesses for him, there has to be a strong youth and strong children that grow up and become the adults. As I look at all of you, I've stood where you stand. You might look at me and say, well, you're old. Well, I am. I'm old now, but I was young once. You guys have a lot more pressure, but all of us had pressure. When I was a teenager, the pressure they would put on you, you'd be called yellow. Any of y'all old enough to remember where they had them? I got a few. I made a bunch of guys. We used to run around our city and park on the square, and bunch of guys decided they was going to go over to another town, and I said, okay, I'll go with you. They started talking about what all he's going to do when they got there. I made them stop the car. Well, they called me yelling everything else. In fact, they wouldn't stop, and I was just fixing to jump out. Because I knew that they're going to get in trouble. They did. They went to jail. You're going to have that kind of pressure that you're going to have to say no, just like Zach was talking about. But you can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Reach your hands out toward these young people, parents, church. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of young people that stand before me. I thank you as they embark upon another year in their life of education. I thank you that you would lead them, guide them, guard them, give them the strength to stand against all of the wiles of the enemy. Father, I thank you that as they study, when the test comes, they can ask you, and you will bring to their remembrance what they've studied. I thank you that those that are involved in athletics, I thank you, I surround them with the protection of God. May they be played to the best of their ability. For those that are in music and band and science, all of the other extracurricular activities that go with school, I thank you that you would help each one of them to be their best. I thank you for these young people, and I thank you that as they go through life today, they will serve you knowing that it's the pressure, but the Holy Spirit on the inside of them will bring them out over to the other side. I thank you for that today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Church, y'all, parents, grandparents, and church members, we have a great youth team. All of these, Zach and Ashley, they're young, but the boy can preach. I'm so proud of these guys. You know, I guess I put him under some pressure by putting him up here in front of the main church. But you know what? I'm so thankful for Zach. I'm so thankful for Denise and Craig and Bill and Tad. We've been down the road a ways. But you know what? The future of Rainbow Bible Church is great. And it's greater because of these standing right here in front of us. Amen. How many of you gave for that youth building down there? This is the product. You know, you can have a youth group, but nowadays, if you don't have that special building, you do what it draws. And we do what we can in the natural, and then we let the supernatural take over. Amen. God bless. What am I supposed to do now, Denise? I got where I did. I lean on these people, and I'm enjoying sitting back and letting somebody else preach for a change. I've been doing it 63 years. First-time guests, we're so glad to have you with us. What do we say, church? If you're looking for a church home, right here it is. But go find our first-time guest connection team and take them back to receive that special gift. Staff, would you go to the different doors? Let's see. I'm going east today. There on the screen where everybody's going to be tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless. They're going to sing and we're going to dismiss. Give me a chance to get down the aisle.